Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
So if you got that card, let's look at it here. It says together, we'll read it, and they'll put it on the screens if you don't. It said, but God is able to multiply all grace toward you that you may always have whatever is sufficient for you in all things, and that you may abound, not lack, abound in every good work. I got a statement that I want to show you and put it on the screen, and it's this. God told me to tell you this. Give yourself permission to live big. You're called to do great things. Give yourself permission this year to live big. There's something on the inside of all of us, and everybody has a different voice running around in your head, and insecurity, hurt, pain, and you start believing the wrong thing. And so grace multiplied, in particular this weekend, what I want to share with you is a lot about trauma. I grew up in some trauma. You might be uncomfortable raising your hand, but a lot of crazy. If you ever seen Jerry Springer, raise your hand. Or if you heard about Jerry Springer, my family, every week, there was something that reminded my family in that episode. And some of the things that I dealt with were some rejection problems. So you get hurt, and there's some abandonment, and people leave. And then that causes trouble, and it did in my first marriage. So people are always like, is this the first lady? That's what they do in church. You know, we'd like to welcome the first lady. And I'm like, that's actually the second lady. The first lady didn't divorce me. But you take your pain and you take it from situation to situation, and you don't think that God can actually bring his grace or his favor in your life. Here's what I have to tell you today at every campus. God is wanting to do something crazy in your life. He's wanting to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all you could ever ask and imagine. But there's something on the inside of you that you're still holding back because you're thinking he can't because of what I've done. So I want to change your mind this weekend to say, hey, if this is, and it is true, that it is grace multiplied, that God is not checking with all the problems that we have had to see if he's going to use us. He knew you before you were formed, Jeremiah said, in your mother's womb. He called you with a purpose and for a purpose, and he wants to multiply that grace on the inside of you. But if you hang on to those limiting beliefs, saying, you know what, if it was going to happen, it's going to happen by now, or God would use somebody else. And especially when you go through the first part of the year, and Monday, we're done with 21 days of prayer and fasting, or at least fasting. Can I get an amen? Thank God for that. But sometimes at the beginning of the year, you start out with some goals and some dreams, and then all of a sudden you get on the scale, and it went the wrong way. I learned a trick the other day. You can actually take your phone. You got a calculator app on your phone, and you can put the number that you want in there and set it there and just stand and look at that number. But they'll tell you in weight loss that the worst thing you can do is look at water weight up and down, because now you're chasing a feeling instead of a fact that if I do what's right, because it's right, and I do it long enough, right will come. But oftentimes we don't do right because we don't feel right, because there's a lot of things that aren't right in your life. The devil will set you up. You got to write this down. The devil will set you up to get you upset. I want to say it again. He'll set you up to get you upset. He knows exactly what button to push. If you've been married for a while and you know what lever to pull to make somebody mad that you're in a relationship with, raise your hand if you know. I know exactly what lever to pull. I pull that button, they get mad, I go to Target and get a couple hours by myself, right? But the enemy knows that. And he's always trying to set you up to get you upset. Isaiah, check this out, 43 verse 2. When you go through deep waters, so we're going to, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. You will walk through the fire of oppression. You will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. So God never promised that we wouldn't go through stuff. He just said that we're going to go through it, not get stuck in it. Can I get an amen in the church today? So it's not like, oh, he promised me a rose garden. If God loved me, I wouldn't go through this. I think about the story of Moses. You all know the story of Moses. Here he is. He's got some issues. He's immediately, as soon as he's born, there's, you know, the abortion devil was live and well. They said, we're going to kill all the babies. And so now in Exodus 1, we see that he's separated from his mother and he's put in this basket down the river. That can cause some abandonment issues. Now he's being raised basically in foster care, but it's a sophisticated, affluent family. But he knows he doesn't technically belong there because he doesn't look like them. He doesn't sound like them. He clearly is not one of them. I'm talking right now about how to have a multiplied grace year. So now, because of the abandonment issues and the hurt issues that is going on, now he sees the tribe that he's technically from being abused and misused. So now he kills this Egyptian and he becomes a fugitive. He's on America's Most Wanted for 40 years. How many of you are not even 40 years old at Oliver Campus? Raise your hand. You're not even 40 years. So your whole lifetime, 40 years, he's on the run because of pain and abandonment, and he's struggling with insecurities. And then check this out. God calls him. In Exodus chapter 3, God calls him. But not only does he have all the pain of his past, he can't possibly think, as you might think today, I can't have multiplied grace and favor in my life because I'm not qualified. I did this. I did that. Again, I want you to focus not on what you did, but what Jesus did. And so God calls him, but he said, hey, you're going to be my mouthpiece, Moses. The guy God picks to be his spokesperson has a massive stuttering problem. So technically, when God picks him, he goes out. Picture this. At every campus now, Illinois, Florida, these people, millions of them, are being tormented by Pharaoh. And now he goes up, and he's the man. He walks on the scene, and he says, let my people go. Does it seem like I'll be back? Come on, say amen to something this today, right? She said God picked him, and God did not fix him. You would think that God would have fixed it. He could have done it. But God said, no, I'm going to allow you to speak with this stutter your whole life, because if I fixed it, you would say it was because you had an eloquent speech. But God used him, in fact, because of everything that happened to him. Somebody ought to shout amen. I'm telling you, God doesn't fix everything in your past, but you ought to leave it in your past, because what he's doing in you is greater than what the devil is doing to you, and God has called you for more. It's the year of multiplied grace. Somebody ought to give him praise in the house of God today. If I was naming this sermon something besides multiplied grace, I would call it, I Still Stutter. You might walk with a limp. You might have a problem in your childhood with some attachment wounds, some trauma bonds. And now you're trying to figure out why it is that you respond this way. God calls Moses and he says, I can't because. So I like that old song. It says, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are. And it goes on. I don't need that because I can't go that high. But I realized I went and pitched it really high. And now's a good time to stop. In the words of the great theologian Kenny Rogers, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. So because of what Jesus did, you can still do what God called you to do. But because of the environment that he grew up in, he's abandoned, got those issues. Raised by people that don't really necessarily love him, got those issues. Then he starts making dumb decisions and murder somebody, and he's on the run for 40 years, he's got those issues. And then God says, hey, you're going to be my man. And he says, what you have said, I can't do that. I've been divorced, I've been betrayed, I've been hurt. I got into a tiff at the church with somebody. I want to tell you a story real quick. Years ago, the church had went and grown and grown and grown, and I never dealt with things like this. And there was a minister that he did something that I thought was unethical, and I challenged him. And the church was, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 people at the time. And I was in Ohio, and I was on the phone with the guy, and I was letting him know it was wrong what he did, and he shouldn't have done that, and he crossed some lines, blah, blah, blah. And then he denied it, and it was a little bit of a problem. And then I had no problem saying, hey, we're done. I never want to talk to you again. And I meant it. I had no problem saying it. And he said to me something that I will never forget. He said, well, of course you would do that because that's what you've always done in your life because that's what's always been. He Dr. Phil'd me. And because you have the trauma in your past and you have no problem with the people do you wrong, you don't ultimately resolve the conflict to try to fix it and make it right. You just go ahead and ax them and move on. And I'm like, I still hung up. But I never forgot what he said. What he did was wrong, but what I did was wrong. We were both wrong. We were wrong in different issues, but we were both wrong. Over time, he came back and apologized, and I accepted his apology, and he's preached for me since. But I've never forgot, I have a tendency, because of the rejection, because of the hurt, because of the betrayal. And man, you talk about I don't even know how to use these, how to say this, but you talk about a profession, if you want to call it what I do, that is really, really prone to keep that kind of behavior going. It would be the church business, because they love you, and then they don't love you, and then they liked you, and then they don't like you. Should have wore jeans, be like the people. Shouldn't wear a suit. Should wear a suit, can't be like the regular people. Vaccinated, unvaccinated, masks, no vax. Why? It's just crazy. I mean, you just can't make everybody happy. So sometimes I just walk off stage and go, don't even want to read my DMs today because I know people aren't going to like that. But until I began to heal up and realize I cannot allow other people to cause me pain and misery, that's where I coined that phrase. You got to do what's right because it's right and do it right to the best of your ability. It doesn't mean that you're always right because you're not. But you got to get rid of the pain and the trauma, and that's exactly where he was. Let's go here to Exodus chapter 4. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they will say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. That's exactly what I would have done. How many of y'all know if the stick turns to a snake, the answer is run. This is an IQ test. Come on, Illinois. Come on, Florida. All right? Then he said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. What? How many of y'all like, no, Lord, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And he reached out his hand, and he caught it, and it became the rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, their God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. We still see it today on the pharmacies and on prescriptions. How many of y'all have seen the serpent on the pole? It was a sign of God's healing. And God used a stuttering murderer, abandonment issues, living in foster care to say, I'm going to use you even though you're not perfect. I'm going to use you even though you don't have it all together. Somebody ought to shout amen. You don't have to get it all together for God to use you. In fact, his grace is sufficient for you. And his grace is made perfect in your weakness. Somebody ought to give God praise today. So really, the bigger sinner you are, the more glory it gives God. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, well, I'd be giving a lot of glory to God then. So God uses this. And then God does something really even furthers it. He said, furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your shirt. And he put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out. And behold, his hand was leprous. It's like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he did. And he drew it out, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe nor heed the message of the first sign, they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe in those two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take the water from the river and pour it on dry land. So he took the water from the river, poured it on the ground, and it became blood. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, how silly is this? We saw a stick turn to a snake. We saw leprosy, then clean. We saw water turn to blood. And he's like, I'm going to need another sign. How many of y'all feel his pain? Come on, every campus, raise your hand. Just one more. So he says, hey, listen, even though you did all that, I need to let you know I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I'm slow of speech. God, again, did not fix the trauma, didn't fix the pain. He used somebody that was imperfect. So we, here on this Sunday in 25, this beautiful weekend, we could say, man, if God used him, I'm kind of starting to think there is a possibility. I don't know, but God might be able to use me. Now listen, I personally think, I can't prove it, and you can't prove it's the opposite, but I just wonder if some of the stuttering issues were not because of insecurities. There was a singer, and you won't even remember this guy, who's like, you'd have to be really old to know this guy, because my dad listened to this guy, and his name was Mel Tillis, and he sang, and when he sang, he didn't stutter at all. He had a show in Branson, Missouri. Florida, you don't know anything about Branson, but you should go. And he had a little deal that when he would sing, he wouldn't stutter. So I'm like, how is that possible? You can't talk, but you can sing. And I don't know if it's true or not, but he told the joke in his shows that he said one night somebody came into the hotel room where he was at, and they were stealing his wallet. And he went to tell his guy, somebody's in the room. And he said, turn on the light, somebody's stealing my wallet. He told us the truth. I don't know. I was in Branson. I was a kid. I was eating popcorn and drinking soda. Cracked me up. But I suppose that there's a possibility that all the trauma and all the pain and all the hurt and all the heartache actually made him shut down. Here's what I want you to know today. This great multiplication that God's talking about is his grace and his favor. And I don't care what they did to you. I don't care how you were molested. I do. But I hate it that this happened to you. But that thing is going to make you stronger. You may never get over the total pain. But why don't you use that pain as a passion to propel you forward, to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell it everywhere in Palm Beach County, to tell it everywhere in St. Louis County, to tell it everywhere in Illinois. Jesus is alive, he's well, he's able, and he's using me, he can use you. Am I helping anybody besides myself today? So another relevant term is that rejection to sensitivity. A few days ago, we were in Dallas, and got to tour Dr. Phil's new studio. It's pretty much almost $1 billion. I've never seen anything like it in my life. This helicopter pad, and you see everything that's going on, and the golf carts that run him in and run him out, and being around him and his team, and seeing how they make the shows, and seeing the stuff, and think that ultimately, Dr. Phil was discovered by Oprah. And then Oprah would bring him on, and he would help solve people's problems. And then he has now become Dr. Phil. You made it when you don't even have to use your last name anymore. You're just Madonna, Elvis, Dr. Phil. Come on, somebody help me, all right? But I remember watching a show, a little bit of a clip that they were working on, and they talked a little bit about rejection sensitivity. And describe that when you have been rejected, a lot of times you have a heightened emotional reaction to perceived rejection. The person hasn't even rejected you yet, but you think they're going to reject you. So since you think they're going to reject you, you never put yourself out there. You were going to ask him out. You were going to ask her out. But because you thought, I bet they don't like me, that'll keep you back. I want you to have confidence that the greater one is living and abiding on the inside of you, and that you're as good as anyone. Remember that Saturday Night Live skit? It just popped in my head. I am loved, I'm liked, I'm pretty. I've kind of got that confused also. It's mixed in with you is smart, you is kind. Come on, go. These movies are going together. But you need to look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, God doesn't make any junk. And just because that happened to me doesn't mean that God is going to turn that pain into a promotion. Just because it looks like a tombstone right now, it's going to be a stepping stone. And when you start saying that, it releases endorphins in your brain, and it begins to form neurons and electrons, and they begin to wire together. And then all of a sudden, you feel a little bit like, they'd be lucky to go out with me. Some of you are laughing right now. It's the facial expression. You just kind of laugh. And I love that because I love feeling that. At every campus, I don't even know how to describe it. I can feel you at other campuses. I want to work through that. Not me. Me? Somebody said, I do this sometimes too. Come here. Me? Couldn't be me. Yeah. I don't want you to be arrogant about it, but I want you to practice it. People point to in your area, like you kind of start moving and look and see if two more people, you go, oh, I guess it wasn't me, but very surprised because I'm expecting God to do breakthrough in my life. I'm expecting an opportunity. I was expecting a call. I was expecting a raise. Come on, somebody. I was expecting the greater one to do something on the inside of me. I am not going to be sensitive to rejection. And when that me and that guy had that tiff back in the day, and I had no problem cutting you off, and I can still do that really well. Like I have no problem. I can just, you're gone. At every campus, if you're brave enough, I shouldn't intimidate like that. Anybody, you're like that, you're like, I have no problem. I can cut you off. We ain't never talking again. In fact, I keep your number in my phone. That way when you call me, I know not to answer. Come on, raise your hand. Who is you right now? Raise your hand. I see you at all the campuses. Okay. I am not saying we should go back for more hurt. I'm not saying that we should sign up for more betrayal. But I am saying hurt people hurt people. And when you're hurt and you're sensitive, you got to work through it. I got a little TikTok I want to show you, and I'll comment afterwards. But this guy says it better. It would take me 10 minutes to tell you what this little dude says in a minute.
When you love someone with childhood trauma, there's going to be times in your arguments when you realize that the emotional reaction that they're having towards you isn't really about you. It's about something that happened in their past, and they're projecting it onto you. So you have two options here. One is that you can point that out. That's just about your crap. It's about your past. It's not my job to fix that. You know, you can stomp on them emotionally if you want. Or you can take ownership for your part, talk about how you're feeling. Something like, hey, I just want to take a second to put a bookmark in this and lower my intensity. Calm down, right? Because I know this is important. I want to keep talking about it. I just need a second to breathe. What you'll notice is when the intensity of the argument goes down, just generally, the projection goes down.
Isn't that good? Wow. I'm going to say it backwards. Wow. I'm going to say it upside down. Mom. And maybe mama issues and daddy issues are part of the problem that caused you to react that way. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not bragging, I'm just reporting. I'm married to the most wonderful, gorgeous, sweetest, precious thing. I mean, I love her. I tattooed. My dad said, whatever you do, never tattoo a woman's name on your arm. Whatever you do. And she knew she had me when I tattooed because she knew my dad. Like, don't ever do that. And then I put her name on my arm, mostly to remember her name. I love her. But because she was given up for adoption and she didn't know her real dad, because she was molested as a little girl, because she was raped when she was 12, then because she went on and said, well, because I need affirmation from men, I'm going to go on and self-sabotage my life and get pregnant with what she thought was a mistake, but Austin Schuler Crank is the best thing that ever happened in the world. It wasn't a mistake. Come on, give God praise today. I know Florida's going crazy. He's the man. But, and then she goes on to look for love in all the wrong places, and she doesn't marry Austin's dad because she looked at him as a football star, and she's a cheerleader and said, well, we get married, but are we going to get married forever? And he said, I don't know that it's going to be forever. So she said, why would we want to do that then to him? So she did it, married Austin's dad, Kurt, who we went on to raise Austin together. I text him 3 or 4 times a week. We're buddies. I didn't see him as, that's the guy that slept with my wife. I thought that when I first met him. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's not the guy that slept with your wife. That's the guy that slept with his girlfriend. And I'm like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. So then I could have a great relationship with him and we could raise him together. But then here's what I'm saying is all that pain in Nicole's past, instead of being buried under it, we worked through it. And there was times with all the pain that I had and all the pain that she had, and then she's a cleric, and if you haven't went through Growth Track, I want you to do it today. Get out in the hallway, go through Growth Track, because we talk about these personalities, and you need to find out what they are. Many of you have many of them. But you have your basement, and you have your ceiling of that personality. I'm a cleric, okay? And so it's a real, like, boom, it's in your face. Nicole's a cleric. It's in your face. You get two clerics together, and both of them know how to talk, you can get divorced really quick. See what I'm saying? But I had to learn, and she had to learn, the things that I'm trying to share with you today as I close in this next couple minutes. It's not just praying a prayer that's going to fix it. And I do believe in prayer. It's not just getting in a group that's going to fix it. And I do. I'm the strongest, firmest believer in groups, tribes, of anyone. But you have to make a decision that I'm going to go to church and I'm going to worship God. Not just for the word, I'm going to go for the worship. And you didn't get into this mess in a day, and you're not going to get out in a day. But me and Nicole had to work through that, because we've been married 28 years now. And I remember the first fight we got in, that she ran away because I accidentally called her my ex-wife's name. I'd been married for 8 years, and we were in a fight, and it just came out. Don't boo me, women. This was an accident. I just accidentally did it. And she took off running, screaming. She has a 34 inseam. Mine's a 30. I couldn't even catch her. I just let her go. Saved my breath till we got back, and that's been 27 years ago. But we worked through trouble, and we worked through trauma, but a lot of this situation, it's not necessarily you. It's what happened in your grandpa and your grandma and your mama and your dad. And you have a responsibility this weekend to say, I'm going to work through this, not just for me, but I want my kids and my grandkids not to have all the rejection issues. Remember Joseph? He goes from the pit to the palace. His brothers sell him in slavery. He's betrayed. He's hurt. Then all those years later, now his brothers are in poverty. They come in, and here sits Joseph. He's now the king. And they don't even recognize him. Why? Because he had changed so much. He recognized them because they looked exactly the same. I'm telling you today that if you make Jesus the Lord of your life, hopefully you have, you go through Growth Track, you decide for me and my house, we're going to stay planted in one church, we're going to go to church, we're going to worship God about 52 times within a year period, and I'm going to put in the work, give this church, listen to me, Fairview, maybe it's your first time today. Give this church 1 year. And if you'll give God in this church 1 year, you will have to introduce yourself to yourself, because you will not recognize yourself because of the work that Jesus does and helps you. And you still may stutter, and you still might have some pain, but guess what? You'll be headed towards your promise. Somebody ought to give God praise today in Jesus' name. Y'all stand with me at every campus. I want to pray for you, and you online, you at home. Father, I pray right now that you move in and out every row, up and down every aisle, from rural Palm Beach Fairview Heights, the high school, Shiloh Drive, that means meeting place with God. God, I believe that you're healing hurts right now. I believe that you're getting rid of trauma bonds right now. You're helping them get healed from rejection, and they're understanding that place that they're at right now, and they're realizing that they've been reacting to situations instead of acting in faith and courtesy and love and tenderness. I rebuke in the name of Jesus every generational curse on their life. I rebuke, I hear the Holy Ghost say, there's a spirit of anger that has stalked some of you. And the Lord says, today, this very day, right now, I am cutting that spirit of anger. And now when you were going to get angry, you're just going to, oh my gosh, I'm not mad. Because you're not going to be reactive anymore. You're going to be preemptive by hearing the word of God, filling yourself full of mercy and grace and peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.